Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. These days, we've been speaking a lot about saying yes to God and saying no to those things that take us away from God. And I came across a little section from Pope Benedict in a homily that he gave that I want to share with you. He puts it this way when we're talking about learning how to say yes to God and no to sin. He says, just as there is such a thing as a vicious circle, a state of being imprisoned in the negative when one no leads to another and makes the whole thing ever more impossible to get out of. In other words, one no leads to another no leads to another no, and we're farther and farther away from God. And he says, so there is also, even though that exists, there is also what could be called a healing circle of salvation in which one yes gives birth to another. Mary said yes to Jesus. Joseph said yes to God. Saints down through the ages have said yes to God and no to those things that tempt us away from God. Those are my words. But Pope Emeritus Benedict says this, the challenge of the cross is something quite different. It reaches deeper. It demands that I give my ego into Jesus' hands, not so that he may destroy it, but so that in him it may become free and expand. You think you're dying to yourself when you choose Jesus' way, but actually you're setting yourself free. It's a paradox, and you only see it by the fruit. So you have to have faith to say no to sin and yes to God. The yes of Jesus Christ that I hand on is only really his if it has also become completely mine. I want to say yes as Jesus said yes to the Father. And I'm being given the grace for that during this Lent. Thus, a great deal of patience and humility also belongs to this way. Just as the Lord has patience with us, it's not a headlong leap, he says, into heroism that makes someone a saint, but patiently and humbly walking with Jesus step by step. Holiness does not consist in adventurous achievements of virtue, but in joining Jesus in loving. Hence, the real saints are also the quite human, quite natural people in whom, through the Easter transformation and purification, what is human appears afresh, in its total beauty. Learning to say yes to God makes us what God created us to be. Learn to say no step by step. Choose one area and start saying no to it, even now, even as close to Easter as it may be now. Say yes. Read his word daily. And again, I'm going to say it. Read the scripture daily. Receive the Eucharist as often as you can. Participate in adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. In a sense, lay yourself out before God and say, heal what I cannot heal. Change me. I choose to follow you. I choose to say yes. And God, out of that yes, can honestly transform us. The CD that I gave you, that you purchased, the 40 Days Journey of Love, it is a journey of love. Listen to that CD again, if you have it. Listen to it again and yet again. Because the truths in there, whatever is of truth that's in there, takes time to penetrate, takes time to come to the place where it permeates your being. And it helps to make saying yes to God and no to sin possible. If you have the CD, please listen to it again. Stop when something really strikes you in it, because that's where God wants to speak to you. Stop right there and listen. I pray for you daily. I want you to know that. Count on that. The first reading today is taken from the book of Genesis, chapter 17, verses 3 to 9. When Abram prostrated himself, God spoke to him, "My covenant with you is this. You are to become the father of a host of nations. No longer shall you be called Abram. Your name shall be Abraham, for I am making you the father of a host of nations. I will render you exceedingly fertile. I will make nations of you. Kings shall stem from you. I will maintain my covenant with you and your descendants after you throughout the ages as an everlasting pact to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. I will give to you and to your descendants after you the land in which you are now staying, the whole land of Canaan, as a permanent possession, and I will be their God." God also said to Abraham, "On your part, you and your descendants after you must keep my covenant throughout the ages." If we follow God, if we do what God asks of us, look at the blessings. Read the book of Genesis. Read it, ponder it. See what God promised Abraham. See Abraham's yes to God. Did it cost him? Yes, but look at the reward. The Lord remembers his covenant forever, the covenant he made with his people, the covenant he makes with each of us. Brothers and sisters, I tell you, life would be very much happier in the end if you made the choices that you need to make to receive God's blessing. Please, please ask God for help. Don't try to do it on your own strength. Ask God for help. Every moment. John chapter 8, verses 51 to 59. Jesus said to the Jews, "Amen, I say to you, whoever keeps my word will never see death." He means eternal death. So the Jews said to him, "Now we are sure that you are possessed." I mean, don't look down on the Jews. We've done the same thing over and over and over again because we don't understand or we can't see. And we don't know how to grow in faith, or we don't know how to put our faith in God. We run into such trouble. So the Jews said to him, "Now we are sure that you are possessed. Abraham died as did the prophets, yet you say, whoever keeps my word will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham who died, or the prophets who died? Who do you make yourself out to be?" We would say, "Who do you think you are?" It's a real challenge to Jesus. And Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is worth nothing. But it is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. You do not know him, but I know him. And if I should say that I do not know him, I would be like you, a liar. But I do know him. And I keep his word. Abraham, your father, rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad." So the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham?" They're incredulous, understandingly. But that's because they're only seeing from a human perspective. They're not looking at the words of the prophets. They're not seeing that this is the fulfillment, that this is the Messiah. They can't see it. And because they can't see it and touch it, they don't believe. "You are not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham?" And Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, before Abraham came to be, I am." In other words, I have always existed. I exist now. I always will exist. I am. I'm the fullness of life. So they picked up stones to throw at him. They wanted to kill him. But Jesus hid and went out of the temple area. Ponder that for a moment. Jesus is promising them everything. Fullness of life forever. And they think he's a fool. They think he's lying. They think he's blaspheming. Why does all this happen? It happens because they're proud. They are the lawgivers. They are the ones who watch over the law, to guard the law, to keep the law. Therefore, they must be holy and pleasing to God. And they will tell everybody else the meaning of the law and what they should do. Now, we need people. We need our priests. We need them to help us and to lead us. But they're not the source. The source is Jesus. And here, with the Jews, with these Pharisees, they almost, in a sense, took the place of God. You need to obey every jot and tittle of the law, and only if you do that will you get to heaven. And because nobody is perfect and nobody can keep every jot and tittle of the law, they would make people feel very lost, bewildered. But they forced people, went after people. You need to obey every jot and tittle of the law. And it destroyed people. But it's their pride. It's their pride that ruled them, not God. Because what God asks, even if it takes every ounce you have to give it to God, if you are responding to what God himself honestly asks of you through his word, you will have life forever now. God has life for you, the fullness of life. Brothers and sisters, God gave us the Ten Commandments because they would lead us to himself. Let the Ten Commandments be your pathway. But know that you cannot live out those Ten Commandments perfectly yourself. It's only in your trust in God, your reliance in God, your dependence on him and all that he provides for you that makes it possible. Be willing to bow down before God and you will be raised up to eternal life. That's the promise. Brothers and sisters, the more that I live Lent each year, and we get so focused on what we have to give up and what we have to change, try to shift your focus to this. What is God giving me by his life, by his death, by his resurrection? What is God giving me? What is God promising me? What is God providing for me? Look at it. Read the scriptures. Look at what God has given us by the death of Jesus on the cross. He's given us the hope of eternal life. It's possible for us because Jesus died on that cross for you and for me. We can live with him forever. Please, give yourself wholeheartedly to him. Begin anew. Begin afresh. May God bless you. For the free copy of my booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, dial 1-800-282-4789. For the CD, 40 Days Journey, Encountering the Love of God, go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. Cost of the CD, $10. God bless you.